There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hello and welcome to the Bechdel cast.
Hi.
I'm Caitlin Durante.
I'm Jamie Loftus.
And I don't know why I blanked.
Okay. Well, I've been starting it a couple times now, but I always
I forgot how to do it. I'm very distraught right now.
This is the episode we've been waiting for.
This
in
is.
A lot of ways.
I know. I feel a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm. It's a Valentine's Day episode. Do you have Valentine's? Oh, maybe that's not a good question to ask.
If I have plans?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely not. Oh, I'm doing a show on Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, at our bar.
I know the one you're blam.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm watching The Jinx with my friend, and then we're going to the Robert Durst case the next morning.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun.
About that.
So this is a Bechdel cast. We talk about women and their representation in movies. Usually it's bad. Sometimes it's not. Today we did something we never did before.
Yeah, this is a special thing.
We hung out off site.
We've never done that before. We watched this movie together. This is the first time in Bechdel cast history that we saw the movie together.
Because I ordered the pizza.
Yeah.
Only I ate the pizza. No one wanted the pizza.
No, I ate some pizza. We did drink a lot of white wine.
We did. But there was a third person. Our friend Courtney was there as well. She barely drank and absolutely did not eat any pizza. And I for sure ate 6 pieces of pizza, 6 pieces of chicken.
And a large amount of wine.
Yeah.
Not that I'm shaming you at all. I really admire that about you.
I think we went pound for pound, did we not?
For wine? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's fine.
And the reason that we watch this movie together is it's a movie that we both have seen. Yay, Jamie. It's a movie you've seen before.
It's a movie I watch alone a lot, but it's better not alone.
Yeah. It's a movie we've seen and love. It's Titanic. And we have a very special guest that we're going to introduce in a second. But we watched the movie together and we recorded different segments during the screening.
Oh, yeah.
That we will insert into the episode, like maybe right now for the first one. We did a pre-movie one. So enjoy. Hey, everyone. It's Caitlin and Jamie.
And we're in a different location than usual.
We're in my house. Mm-hmm. We are about to watch Titanic together.
And we just buried a body. That's when we go off-site. Aristotle was supposed to come, but then he said no.
And then we killed him, and that's whose body we buried.
And that's the body. So now that we're all caught up, we're about to watch Titanic. I haven't watched it in, I think, 2 years, which is unusual. I usually do plan there's a few movies I watch annually that are very long. It's Titanic and Gone with the Wind.
I watch this movie 2 to 3 times a year, and I saw it pretty recently.
How do you handle that? It's so like,
I don't know if I have a lot going on in my life, and I have a lot of time. You mean like emotionally?
Yeah, like I have the time. I rewatched season 2 of Grace and Frankie today. Rewatched it.
Wow.
I've got the time.
Yeah.
That's not the issue. It's the emotional capacity.
I think that I just operate at such a low level of emotional intelligence. I need movies like this to like, to activate the emotion parts of my brain.
You sound like a robot learning how to feel. Anyways, love Titanic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't wait to watch this with you. We're going to check back in, I think, around the midpoint of the movie.
We should, I know exactly where the VHS number one stopped.
Same.
We'll check in there.
Great. All right. Bye.
And then we stopped in the middle, which for all you Titanic heads out there, is where the first VHS ends. Captain E.J. Smith turns basically to camera and says, "I think you may get your headlines after all, Mr. Ismay." And we talked there. Yep. And then one big long segment at the end.
Yes.
Yes.
So we will check in periodically and go to those segments. But for now, let's introduce our wonderful guest.
Yeah.
She's a very funny comedian and wonderful person, Aparna Nancherla.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're so excited.
So you picked this movie.
I did.
And you picked it because do you also like it? Do you love it?
I have a confession. I didn't watch it recently, but I have watched it, I would say, upwards of maybe four times in my life.
Okay. Those are, I mean, that's no, like, 40 times like I've
know,
seen it,
I know.
But...
It's not that high, but
but
I do remember when it first came out, I was, like, obsessed with it for a while. Ugh. Yeah. I felt like it swept the nation.
It did. It certainly did.
But people were kind of divided, if I remember, because some people thought the, like, the dialogue was really bad. I remember that was a complaint about it.
The dialogue is pretty bad.
There are some scenes where the dialogue is especially bad, and the acting is especially
bad. Kate Winslet does not crush it in this movie, per se.
She does... But not that bad of a job once the ship starts sinking, but up until then, she's pretty bad at acting, I think she openly admits.
Her American accent is a little weird, and like I used to try when I was younger to like imitate the way she would speak, because it was we talked about this when we watched it, like the cadence of it is so weird, but it sounded very elegant, and so
it's very bourgeois.
I tried to, yeah. She's like, poor little rich girl, and it was like up and down. Like a weird Shakespearean quality to it.
Yeah, I wonder if she was trying to go for like upper class.
Yeah, like almost
English,
like a transatlantic kind
right,
of thing.
Right.
But I don't know.
We don't even need to do a recap, I don't think.
Honestly, I feel like we lose more and more structure each time.
Yes.
Oh, do you guys usually recap the movie?
Yes, I do, and I always do a very bad job.
And it takes about, it takes a while.
Several hours.
I was
about the length of the movie itself.
I was looking for speed versions of it on YouTube, and there's some really strange homages to the movie out there.
Oh.
There's like one that was, it was like a condensed version of the movie with just like weird close-ups on the people's faces, and then just like techno music.
Oh. So people were just like, I love this movie, I'm going to...
Let me summarize. Yeah.
Well, like they summarize it, but with techno
music? Yeah, they just like took key moments and did it in chronological order and put it to techno.
Yeah. We'll watch
Good
one of those
them.
Then instead of listening
we'll
to whatever.
We'll link it in the description.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do it.
When it came out, I saw it, not to brag, in a drive-in movie theater with my mom and sister.
That's a great way to see this movie, I think. I watched it at first in secret. I wasn't allowed to see it when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I was five when it came out. It came out in 97. But I stole my mom's VHS copies of it at one point and brought it to my cousin's house where we proceeded to watch it. Got busted watching the nude scene.
Of course.
But then my aunt, she's a cool aunt, and she's like, keep watching, kids.
Wow.
So we did.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then once my mom found out I'd already seen it, she was just like, all right, you can, I guess you can just keep watching it.
What cool family members you have.
A million. Cool, careless, you know.
Was it scary as a five-year-old?
Well, I didn't see it when I was five. I didn't see it until I was like, I think 10.
Oh, got it.
And at that point, it was just like hot, cool thing. Like,
sure,
I don't know.
Sure, yeah.
Not that things are hot when you're 10, but maybe they are. I don't remember. But, and then in junior high, like, I loved this movie for so much for so long that in junior high to, like, retain my, like, punk rock credibility in junior high, I tried to switch gears and be like, oh, I don't love the movie. I love learning about details about shipwrecks. And so I have a ton of knowledge about shipwrecks because I was just like really nervous that people were going to just think I loved Titanic, which is... I did.
Yeah.
But I also know about a ton of military
that
shipwrecks.
That never happened. I was just like, I don't give a fuck what people think about me. I'm just going to watch this movie every day for an entire summer, sometimes twice in a row. True story. Whoa. I've probably seen this movie 50 times.
I mean, it's twice in a row is the whole day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like 6.5 hours. Yeah, yeah. My sister and I would start it in the morning, watch the whole thing, have to switch out the VHS tapes and then rewind and start from the beginning immediately after it was like I was obsessed with this
movie. I mean, if you've got a sister too, that's like I only had a brother and he was not as on board to watch it with me.
That's the other thing about this movie is that I think I don't want to make any sweeping generalizations here, but I think a lot of women have at least seen it and many enjoy it more so than a lot of guys who have never seen it. Most men I've talked to, I think they're like, yeah, I never saw that movie. I'm like, really? But it's so good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't care about it. Yeah. I like this movie for the wrong reasons, which is that I think it has amazing practical effects and great action. So the movie doesn't really kick it into gear for me until like act two, which is or the end of act two, or who knows. I mean, the inciting incident happens in this movie an hour and a half into it.
How many college degrees do you have?
I have three now because I have two of mine and one of you. I took yours.
You took mine. Okay, that's fine. I don't need it. I like this movie for all the wrong reasons that I think everyone likes it for.
Yeah, the romance. The romantic.
So freaking beautiful.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Like, it's really
I mean, the more I see it, the more I appreciate the romance, especially on this recent rewatch. I was like, all right, gotta pay extra attention to Rose. She's our female character. I was like, holy shit, she's like, she's great. And we'll go into more detail about that.
Yeah, I was trying to think of all the female characters. I mean, she's obviously the main one, but there's her mom.
There's her mom. Mm-hmm.
There's Kathy Bates.
The unsinkable Molly Brown.
But also pretty much, I feel like Kathy Bates, that part couldn't have been cast better. Yeah. Like, Kathy Bates was perfect.
Yeah, no, she's great.
She is great. I love the scene where she takes Leonardo DiCaprio and is like, try on my son's clothes. and he's like, it fits perfect. Like, end of scene.
Yeah.
It's great.
I know. I wanted her, she like ends up being a mentor for Jack, but I wanted her to be a mentor for Rose. More because she's like, I'm a strong woman, you're a strong woman, I'm a little older than you, let me show you how to be a bad bitch.
Right. But she sort of teaches Jack instead
how to not
be a
poor
bitch. Oh yeah, she can. Because it's a little more well, that's an interesting thought. That said, Jack and Rose are both fictional. Molly Brown's real.
I guess we'll just dive right in. I really like Rose now. Like, I was like, she just yells out Jack a lot toward the end, and that's my impression of her.
So many first name assaults in this movie. It's crazy.
Rose, Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's great. She's great.
Yeah.
She's great. Little hasty to want to kill herself.
Oh, right. That is a...
Seems abrupt.
I wonder if that's the end... That comes really early, though, doesn't it?
Really early.
Wait, I should have made a pun when I was like, let's just jump in. It should have been it should have been a better pun about jumping into the water something.
I thought you were making a pun when you said that guys were not on board with it.
Whoa.
Oh,
wow, we have so many nautical references.
Yeah, let's see how many we can do.
I used to make my high school boyfriend watch this movie with me all the time. And he was training to be a naval sailor, and it would just be 3 hours of like, that's not how a boat works. That's not how a boat works. And I was like, man, so nice. But
You said that she's a bit quick to just throw herself off the back of a boat, which either she's got some mental health issues that she's not addressing, or like,
true.
again, no one knew who Freud was even back then, because Mr. Ismay is like, who's Freud? It's a true. Passenger? So, you know, psychology didn't really exist that much back then. So maybe she was morbidly depressed.
Yeah, I guess we don't have a lot of context. I think the way it's introduced is weirder, because, like, the narration just says, like, inside I was screaming, and then cut to she's about to kill herself.
Right, running.
So it's like, well, this could have been a huge lead up. We just don't know.
Yeah. Either way, what happens next is a trope that happens in a lot of movies where a guy has to save a woman, which, like, normally would annoy me, but then I got to thinking about it.
I guess I was like, oh, I guess it's a guy saving a girl. But then I was thinking about her situation, and I was like, I could understand in her position and class, she wouldn't maybe have that many options.
Right, right. Like, there wasn't, because, and then you find out later, like, it's basically an arranged marriage, and she has to do it so that her and her mom can continue to, like, maintain their lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it seems like she's kind of been sold off to Billy Zane.
Billy Zane.
We'll get to Billy Zane because I don't know. I have a whole new perspective on Billy Zane now, which is that I could fix him.
Wow.
I could fix him?
I don't know. I think he's too far beyond help. He's a sociopath.
No way, baby. I could fix him.
I don't know. I mean, I am confident in you and in your abilities, Jamie. But
I said I could fix Gaston, and I think that that's true, too. I also think I can fix Billy Zane with my love.
I can't make any sense of my notes. I think what I was trying to say is that, like, yeah, he saves her, but it sort of is the catalyst for her character arc. Oh, there's a scene where she's like, it's not up to you to save me, Jack. This is later on in the story. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you're right, only you can do that. And I was like, yeah. I like that he acknowledges her autonomy and stuff like that.
And there's that great speech he gives to her in that weird gym.
Wait,
yeah, that's the scene. Yeah.
He pulls her into gym. Maybe it's the gym equipment. There's like a scene where she like blows him off, and then he's like, "Don't go, you know, you're the best." And they're in this insane-looking gym. With all these like steampunk reference of the episode. It looks like a steampunk gymnasium.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Lots of confusing looking contraptions.
We can't go an episode without mentioning something about steampunk.
So far.
Yeah. Gotta keep the streak going.
Yeah, exactly. He does give us, like, he's like, you're the most amazingly incredible, brave girl woman I've ever known. And he doesn't say anything about her looks. He's just like commenting entirely on her like strength of character. And then he like accidentally calls her a girl. He's like, no, even though you're 17, you're a woman. And I was like, yeah, good job, Jack.
Oh, I forgot she's supposed to be 17.
I think so, right?
She does not look 17, but yeah.
She's like 90210 17.
Yeah.
So there's that like kind of empowering moment. There's the one where, early on in the movie, there's a scene where they're at dinner and Rose like blows smoke in her mom's face. She's like, I don't care that you don't like me smoking. And then
Billy Zane tries to order food for her.
And yeah. And then Molly's like, are you going to cut her meat for her too? So you have these few moments early on where you like see women being like pretty badass. And then there's this scene where she's, like, trying to commit suicide, and Jack's like, oh, you know, ice fishing. He, like, is trying to mansplain ice fishing.
Oh, no.
To her, and she's like, I know what ice fishing is! And I loved that. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna do that anytime someone mansplains something to me.
Even if I don't know.
Yeah. I know what ice fishing is, okay? I've never been ice fishing. I have no idea how it works.
It's when you poke a hole in ice and then you put your
line.
Yeah, I know what ice fishing is.
See, there you go. It was in an episode of Frasier once.
Oh, yeah? Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Shortly after that, there's a line where I don't even know who this character is, but he's like, it's like I always say, women and machinery do not mix.
It's like one of the Guggenheims.
Wait, when was that? Oh, I think I remember.
Oh, it's whenever Rose does a very good Caitlin impression. She's like, I was leaning far over to see the rudders. That's me talking because I can't say a single sentence without filling it with like 10 vocal fillers. But yeah. And then she's like, oh, they're like, oh, women and machinery. She wanted to see the rudders. That's dumb.
Yeah. So I guess the men, a lot of the men are in gender normative roles, except for Jack.
Yeah, I'd say so. Because Jack just spends most of the movie like trying to empower Rose.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and then there's also kind of just like a lot of men just doing jobs. Like most of the ship crew, they don't cause conflict other than not preventing the ship from sinking.
Right, right, right.
But there's a lot of, I mean, like Cal for sure is terrible. Cal or Billy Zane's weird butler.
Yeah, he's a valet. A valet.
He's around. He wants to help, presumably for money. We don't know.
Huh.
But he's not a good guy.
Mr. Lovejoy.
Mr. Lovejoy. That's a great name for him.
That is a good name.
Yeah, because he follows Jack and Rose around quite a bit. And then Mr. Ismay, like the owner of the White Star Line, he's not a great guy either.
No.
He just wants faster.
He just wants to make the headlines and to monetize.
We must make headlines.
Now I want to marvel her speed. Yeah. Yeah, so he's a piece of shit. Mr. Andrews, though.
Oh Victor Garber. So handsome in this movie.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't necessarily agree with you, but I'll let you have this one.
You're crazy. He's the most handsome man in the whole movie.
You know what? Billy Zane is totally my type. I just love a guy with thicker eyelashes than I have. That's what
Billy
I'm
Zane
into.
Billy Zane is wearing a crazy amount of makeup in this
he
movie.
He is. He's wearing so much eyeliner.
Yeah. And it was like, is that something people did or is that just something Billy Zane does? Because no one else in the movie does it. Except for him and all the female characters.
A lot of mascara.
A lot of mascara. A lot of, like, almost cat eyes. Yeah. He looks great.
I know. I want someone to do a makeup tutorial on YouTube, but, like, to replicate Billy Zane eyes from Titanic. Oh.
Billy Zane eyes.
Oh, I also like there's a part where she, like, does all the math in her head and figures out that there aren't enough lifeboats on the ship.
Oh, yeah. She does.
She's
I was
doing the sum in my head. And it's like, yeah, you go, girl. You do that math. One of my favorite lines is after Jack gets invited to dinner and they're all sitting at dinner and it's like winding down. Mm-hmm. Rose is like, now they go retreat into a cloud of smoke and congratulate each other on being masters of the universe. And I was like, yeah, men still do that. This is a thing that men do, namely our current presidential administration.
Whoa, hot take.
Whoa, hot take. And then I feel like I'm talking a lot. I'm just saying.
I feel bad because I didn't watch it recently, so I don't remember that on that level of detail.
I know. We're, like, really getting into the nitty-gritty of this movie.
It's fresh, and we've both seen it so many times. Mm. Hey, did you ever see Ghosts of the Abyss?
No.
Oh, I think that's what it's called. It's, like, a 2002 documentary that James Cameron made where he went back to the Titanic because he just loves going to the Titanic.
I think I remember that coming out. I didn't see it, though, but yeah. I think he spent so much time researching it before he even did the movie.
Yeah, it was so expensive. Like, it was crazy expensive, and I feel like he maybe only made the movie so he'd have an excuse to go down. But, like, what a gift.
Yeah.
A gift to the world.
Was it good? Did you see, you saw that?
It was good. I mean, it was just like a lot of technical, like they were basically trying to figure out like, can we raise it and can it be preserved? And the answer is no, it'd just fall apart. So you just got to leave it there and it's sort of just slowly decomposing.
Mm.
What about the submarine guys?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton. I don't know how I feel about that, like, bookending the movie. Because we don't even arrive in the narrative in 1912 until 20 minutes into the movie. Yeah, I clocked it.
It maybe does. Yeah, it, like, goes a little. I feel like that happens because James Cameron wants to show everyone all his cool footage from the Titanic. Like, I think that's the only reason why that exists. I don't know. Like, how much of a punch does it pack that there's an old
lady? It makes it seems like it's setting it up to be this huge, important component of the story later because they're searching for the diamond. But the diamond, like, it just doesn't really, it doesn't have much to do with the rest of the story.
Right.
So
that's really the only thing that ties it
ends up being, yeah, exactly. It ends up being like a bit of a plot device whenever Lovejoy frames Jack for stealing it, and then they lock him up, and then it creates like this extra sequence of tension whenever Jack or Rose is like, I don't know, he was my boyfriend, but then he stole that necklace, so oh man.
And then Jack and says, then, that's horseshit, yeah. Rose.
you don't you believe them?
You know me. I didn't do this.
You know me. And it's like, she met you 2 days ago, so she doesn't really know you. And then comes one of the worst lines of dialogue in the entire movie.
Ooh, wait,
which is when he's like, how'd you find out I didn't do it? And she's like, I didn't. Yeah. I just realized I already knew.
But she says it like, knew.
And it's...
And then they hit an iceberg.
That ends up being, like, I guess, a part of the story. But then what drives me crazy is the end when she throws it overboard.
People got so upset about that.
I got upset mostly because she could have taken that piece of jewelry and sold it to whoever wanted to buy it. And then she could have founded Planned Parenthood or donate to it or, like, just use those millions and millions of dollars.
It doesn't bother
me. To, like,
me.
Put some women through college or something.
But I don't think it would have. I feel like they would have, like, put it in a museum or something. I don't think it would have been sold or anything.
It didn't. I don't know. That didn't bother me too much because it's, like, the last thing she does before she dies, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, no one's ever going to know. And it was hers.
I just, that's so, the other thing. So she dies, not, like, she's, like, she regaled this whole story. She seemed fine. And then what? She just dies all of a sudden?
Because it was the... because it was the last thing she had to do. Maybe she'd never told the story before.
Right.
Maybe this is the part where we should check in the last part.
And I'll fire it up, yeah.
So, hey, let's check in. We're going to do this out of order, but we're gonna check
into
in
the last,
to the
part,
last part.
Cut to.
This is when I was like, I don't like that she dies. And you're like...
crying so much.
Hey, listen now.
I'm sorry, that's me laughing. And that's Jamie sobbing. I'm a... Oh, God. Okay.
It's so sad. I know. They love each other so much.
They love each other.
And then the end, everyone's there.
Is that supposed to be like a dream or is it supposed to be heaven?
It's heaven.
Is it? I was always like, oh, she just falls asleep and it's a dream.
No, heaven. Dude, she
dies.
And then she goes to heaven where everyone's waiting for her to kiss someone. That's what it's like for her. I love her so much. Oh, everyone's just hanging out.
Yeah. Jack is in his, like, poor people clothes.
And he's looking at the clock.
Yeah.
It's so sad. But it's so happy. It's okay.
I wish I wasn't such a weird robot and that I was more...
No, I'm overdoing it.
We've also had probably 5 glasses of wine each.
I can't believe it. It's never less sad. Okay, I think I'm back.
Okay,
I think I just sobbed for like 10 minutes.
No, that was...
What's up, guys?
I'm sorry that I was like, oh, we should record this now. We're still crying. So the movie has ended. Yes,
we just finished it.
We've been through a journey together.
I'm exhausted. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that movie so much.
We were quoting every line of dialogue.
We knew every line in the movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a bit.
No.
It was just...
And our friend Courtney, who she was probably very annoyed with us, because she was like, guys, can you stop? I'm trying to pay attention to the movie. And we're just like...
There's going to be one less on this boat if you don't shut that hole in your face.
R.I.P. Officer Murdoch, honestly.
Yeah.
That hit me harder than it ever has. My crush for him apparently has grown more intense over time.
My crush is still on Captain Fantastic.
Yeah, we've got to talk about that.
The hot guy at the end who's like, is there anyone out there? Can anyone hear me?
Is there anyone out there?
I looked him up and I was like, who's this very attractive man in this movie? He did well. And then I was like, holy shit, it's Captain Fantastic from the Fantastic Four.
I had no idea that's who he went on to be. The Scarlett Johansson one or the bad one?
Jessica Alba one.
The first one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's better.
Oh, I thought none of them were good.
I didn't see any of them.
But what? You haven't seen a movie?
That movie was so sad.
Oh, yes, Courtney?
I did enjoy watching it with you guys cast as all the characters.
Oh! We did good, though.
Yeah, we did a pretty good job. We got all the accents and all the cadences.
Yeah.
I brought my hole punch. I didn't even use it.
Oh, wait, what were you going to use it for?
I was going to craft.
Oh. How could you craft at a time like this?
I wanted to believe the best in myself, but I didn't do it.
Well, never let go, Jamie. You're going to live on. You're going to make lots of babies.
And watch them grow. Oh. And then I'm going to die. An old lady.
I resent that part because he's basically saying that, like, the only worth you have as a woman is to be a mother. Yeah, but he still could have been a little bit more feminist.
And you're going to go get a STEM degree, and you're going to manage a company, and you're going to be valued by everyone around you, and then you're going to die.
I wish he would have said that, yes.
He was tired.
I feel like I'm inadequate emotionally because I don't know how to compute or express or process
emotion.
That's a emotion.
Superpower. I'm like sweating through my clothes.
It comes at a price, which is that I don't know how to be in relationships.
I think between the two of us, we feel enough for two people, though.
It's just like how between the two of us we have three degrees.
Between the two of us we have the emotions of two people. But it's just a little tipped in the wrong way.
The emotions of two people and I have the emotions of zero people.
I sob. I love to sob. I would like to dedicate this episode to all the victims of the Titanic, all 1,500 of them, particularly those in the lower classes. And hey, to the women.
To
the women and children who didn't make it. We're like fucking your allies, and we're not fucking your
allies. We're
going
to march for you. We're marching.
We're going to march on the White House and be like, what about Titanic? Oh, I'm so sad.
All right. Thanks. Well, hey, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Peace out. Happy Valentine's Day.
My heart will go on.
Oh, that's true. It will.
Yeah.
It will.
Oh, I was about to sing it, and then I remembered I can't sing. Okay, bye. And we're back.
I'm not looking forward to listening to that. I don't think I will.
No, you were great. I was really mean. I was like kind of making fun of you for crying, and I was like, I'm over here laughing and Jamie's crying.
Like, I didn't like the ending. That is such a beautiful part of the movie, because you go back at the end and you're like, there's like all these B characters and they're all there and they're so happy, and Jack is just staring at a clock, who knows how long he's been there, and then he turns around and then they pan up and the captain's there. It's so nice. It's so nice.
I always feel bad when a character in a movie has, like, the love of their life, and then they die, and then someone else comes along, and it's like, guess that person doesn't matter that much.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, because I think in the story she was married to the same guy for, like, 40 years.
And they have all these kids and grandkids, and then it's like, what about that guy's story?
That's not the last thing she wanted to think about before she died.
Yeah, she's like, fuck that guy. Fuck my granddaughter who's right here with me.
Her granddaughter also has a thing for Bill Paxton.
Oh, right. They do sort of shoehorn that little
In the alternate ending, they might Kiss? I don't know if I...
There's an alternate ending?
Oh, it's so bad. It's on bad. YouTube. Oof. Like, she's about to throw the diamond overboard, and Bill Paxton runs up. She's like, no! He's like, no, don't do it! And then she, like, does this whole speech. Or I don't remember. It's just horrendous.
Oh, no. It's not good, yeah.
But, I mean, sure, I guess the reason that, like, she was so affected by, or, like, that she's gonna reunite with him in heaven or whatever is that he allowed her to escape this trapped life that she was in, and he was, like, the catalyst that got her to become this new woman, this new independent woman.
Right.
And so, yeah, he played a very significant role in her life. Oh, I just
so they barely knew each other.
Romance. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. Love is dead.
Here's something that that I hadn't really thought about the first 40 times I watched the movie because I was moodier and probably liked my mom less than I do now last time I saw it. I don't know how well it sits with me that Rose presumably never talks to her mom who survives ever again. Like she, I presumably allows her mom to believe that she has died.
Yeah.
Her mom is not great and her mom was sort of, you know, selling her off to the highest bidder, but you know, you can argue it was for survival purpose. I don't know. I just, it's weird to me that.
I mean, they may have reunited. She changes her last name, but I feel like we're as pure speculation that we assume that
they never
each other. Yeah.
That's true. I hope they saw each other again.
I think there should be a sequel, like Rose and Ruth.
Rose and Ruth. Yeah, like they share an apartment during World War II.
I would watch that Netflix during World War II. That was like
30 years later.
Yeah, yeah.
So that point is just mom's kind of old. But yeah, that had never occurred to me before. Where obviously, you know, at the end you see Billy Zane looking around and then she hides from him. And I was like, okay, well, I get that you don't want to see him again.
Sure. Yeah. What she like mom? Definitely ghosted on him in that moment.
Yeah.
That was great.
I hope she saw her mom again.
Yeah.
She's not real.
I think her mom had some problems, but there's a great scene. Let's talk about that. Where I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but because guess what, the movie does pass the Bechdel test.
Oh yeah,
it does.
It does because it happens on a few instances. But there's a scene
pretty early too. I think the first time it passes, if I'm not mistaken, is when old Rose is talking to her granddaughter. Before we go back to 1912.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're talking about the Titanic or whatever.
Yeah. A little later on, there's the scene where Rose's mom is talking to her, like, lame rich friends, and they're having tea. And she's like, well, the purpose of university is to find a suitable husband. Rose has already done that. It's like, ugh, yeah. God.
Don't they discuss the color lavender in that scene for some reason? I think they're talking about, like, bridesmaids' dresses or something.
Oh, I think that's a different scene, but it is with those horrible rich ladies again.
I've never seen The Godfather, but I've seen this movie, like,
that's okay.
400 times. I've never seen Forrest Gump. I could have done so much with all that time.
You've got all the time in the world to watch a bunch of movies.
Thank you.
Anyway, there's a scene where Ruth is talking to Rose, and she's, like, doing up her girdle or her petticoat
corset.
Yeah. I couldn't remember
I think
the
that's
name.
The sexiest way to describe that garment.
Yes.
Yeah, I forget what a girdle is, but I think it... Is it the same thing?
I'm not sure. And
it's a steampunk thing.
They're like, Rose is like, oh, you like put this burden on me of having to marry Cal because all of our money is gone. And and then she's like, it's not fair. And Ruth is like, of course it's not fair. We're women. And I was like, I know. It's not fair.
It's not fair. Why do we all have to marry Billy Zane?
Yeah.
When we're just young girls.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the nude scene.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the sex scene.
Pretty close together, right?
They were.
Pretty much one right after. Yeah. Well, because it's like the nude scene, and then they get chased around
by the butler guy,
and then they have sex
in the car. Yeah.
I think it's interesting, and like this is something I cannot imagine me or most people I have ever met doing, but going from they like have their first kiss, And then, like, the next step is, like, and now you're going to draw me nude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the next thing that they do.
That was second base.
That is a pretty forward, especially for that time, I'm guessing. Especially considering she's, like, she was a very upper crust.
Right. And she knew he drew nudes, I guess.
Right. That's why it had to be nude, because nudes were, like, his thing.
That was, yeah, was very, like, chill.
Didn't have to be.
It didn't. Oh, I didn't. It is weird that she jumped to nude.
I like it. Oh, I love that part. Because,
well,
it's,
he,
like,
also drew non-nudes. He showed her a lot of different stuff.
I think she was just, like, trying to get things going. Like, they'd hung out a little bit, but they hadn't, like, she was just trying to make the first move.
Kaylin, you're, like, capable of being casual with people. This is something
that
would
never... Have you ever met me? No.
No, but you can, like, do it. But, I mean,
Do you I've initiated people, or... every time I've had sex. I was like, you have to draw
That's
me nude
great.
First.
That's, yeah. It's just like, first I'm going to wear this kimono.
Right.
I want you to draw me wearing
get
this.
Get you all nervous.
Wearing only this. And it's a crappy necklace I bought from Claire's in 2001. And then he draws me,
Mine's
and then
like one
we
of
have
those
sex
wire
in the
chokers.
Backseat of a car. No, the reason I like it so much is that, like, everything is on her terms. She's like, I was this stuffy little prissy girl. I don't want to be drawn like a porcelain doll anymore. Here's some money. I expect what I want. Draw me naked. And it's just like she's coming into her own, you know? She knows what she wants, and she's not afraid to go out and get it. And she, I'm sure, was sexually repressed up until then. Well, because there's a few conversations earlier in the movie where Cal is like, I thought you would come to me last night. And she's like, I was tired. And then there's another part where he's like, you're my wife. You should honor me the way a wife is required to honor
Cal is
her
very,
husband.
Cal is very horny.
He's very horny. And she will not put out. And so I love that
she Cal,
goes and she's like, yeah, Cal, you're not going to get any of this bomb pussy, but Jack over here, this homeless man who I met 2 days ago, I will fuck you all night long.
Okay. Obviously, Cal, not a great guy. I do think that maybe if they spent some more time together, they would become like normal parents that sort of hate each other. But it's like, well, they got some sort of bond going.
Like, that may be true if he wasn't a complete narcissist and sociopath.
Yeah. All dads are like that. No, it's but the scene where he gives her the necklace and basically is like, please have sex with me.
Uh-huh.
It's so funny. He's very, he's just like using phrase like, open your heart to me, Rose.
Yeah.
I'm just like, ugh, gross.
Mm-hmm.
But he's trying so hard.
Well, that's, I love that he's like totally being cuckolded by this,
right.
Young, this
Whoa, we can bring
poor
in,
guy.
You can bring in that world.
He's a cuck.
I was using cuckolded long before the fucking, all those conservatives commandeered that term.
Calm
Again,
down.
I did watch a documentary about birds where I learned all about cuckolding.
About well done, well done.
The point that I'm trying to arrive at is that every, like, sexual experience that Rose has is, like, just very much on her terms. She initiates everything. She's just like, she's feeling very sexually empowered, and she's like, I'm gonna go for it. And Jack is like, sure. And she's like, put your hands on me, Jack. And he's like, okay. And then they're like mid coitus, and he's like sweating and trembling, and he's just like, I can't handle this bomb pussy.
I think you're really, like, writing fan fiction on top of the movie. We don't see them have sex. We see them initiate sex, and then we see pow.
No, well, there's a scene where, like, it might be, like, post-coitus. You never see him, like, thrusting into her. But, hey, Mom, you see...
Wait, I have the scene pulled up from the James Cameron script here.
Oh, yes. Please read.
So, and I don't know where this fits into... this is, I think we could argue, a woman's movie.
Mm-hmm.
The woman is the driving force in the movie. It is written by James Cameron, who is sort of notoriously overly perverted in the way that he writes. And I remember reading this when I was like a teenager. I was like, I want to read the script. I want to know everything about this dope movie. And the way he writes a sex scene is very long and very gross. Jack jumps into the driver's seat, enjoying the feel of the leather and wood. Jack says, where to, Miss Rose? To the stars.
Oh my god.
On Jack as her hands come out of the shadows and pull him over the seat into the back. He lands next to her and his breath seems loud in the quiet darkness. He looks at her and she is smiling. It is the moment of truth. Jack, are you nervous? Rose, au contraire, mon cher. He strokes her face, cherishing her. She kisses his artist's fingers.
Ew.
Rose, put your hands on me, Jack. He kisses her, and she slides down in the seat under his welcome weight. Cut to they hit an iceberg. But the way he writes sex scenes, it's nasty. The way that...
Well, any screener writing class will tell you that you don't need all of that description, first of all.
It's so long. Yeah. It's paragraphs of just weird, pervy adjectives.
Yeah.
Welcome weight is really the phrase that stuck with
that
me.
That sounds like fan fiction.
It does. Yeah it sounds like an ebook, the way he wrote it. It's kind of gross. Mm-hmm. And then going off of that, I've read more than one James Cameron script.
Sure.
And then he wrote a treatment of Spider-Man, the Tobey Maguire one, that's just as gross.
Yeah.
Like, just as pervy, where there's, like, scenes in it where he's, like, a peeping Tom, like, what? Looking at Mary Jane. There's a scene where he, you know, it's like, oh, the webs are... cum, and it's his sexual awakening, and the cum makes him more powerful, and it's just he's a sick freak. he's nasty.
I don't think it translates that much onto the screen though,
right?
Because the other
doesn't. I wonder if there's someone behind the scenes who is just like, don't do that. Try not to think about those words when you do that.
Well, I was thinking also about, like, the nude scene where she, takes off her robe and we see her, like, naked breasts. Like, you always have to question if there's nudity, a woman nude in a movie. Is it to satisfy the male gaze or is it something else that's actually, like, important for the story? And I think in this case, like, for Rose, I feel like it's an act of defiance. She's like, I've been all stuffed up in these corsets and, like, been all prim and proper my whole life and not anymore. So I feel like it's, like, symbolic of her being like, that's not who I am anymore. I'm this new woman who's gonna fuck a stranger right after he draws me naked.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I'm on board with that. I mean, and just the fact that it gets everyone in the theater horned up is just like a fringe benefit.
Yeah, totally.
Good for them. Good for them that they cracked that one.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like they needed like a climatic moment before the iceberg.
Totally.
Yeah, that's true. That's like the best part of the first VHS tape. is when she gets naked and then it's pretty much downhill from there.
Mm-hmm. When I was watching the movie for the first time in the drive-in movie theater, we were in my mom's car, and the like windows were getting steamed up in the car. So I, 11-year-old Caitlin, made this hilarious joke where I like slapped the window and like brought my hand down, and my mom's like, "Caitlin,
that's very adorable. I love that."
Wait, it was you and your mom and your sister?
Yeah.
Who was sitting in the back seat?
I think it was probably my mom. Like, my sister and I think we're in the front seat. My
mom
took one for the team.
I know.
Yeah. I don't think my mom would do that. My mom was like, no, I came here shotgun. Yeah. I'll stay shotgun.
Yeah.
No, she was a nice mom.
Well, that's great. Shout out to Caitlin's mom. Does your mom listen to the podcast?
Yeah, she does.
My mom still does not understand.
Oh, no.
No, Julie, she doesn't. She does not physically know
how to play. Oh, I remember that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I was talking to my dad about it the other day, and I think his exact words were like, how do you do that? And I was like, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
So anyway, I just love the whole sex and naked scenes in this. I feel like it's just very symbolic of
the sex
her
and
coming.
Naked scenes.
All of it. I just want more. It's more, great. Baby.
Well, I mean, pretty much directly after Rose is deflowered, I imagine that Jack perhaps...
Oh, he was definitely effing some of those French prostitutes.
The other
drawing.
Nude girls, right. She wasn't the first nude girl. But the other thing that always makes me laugh about Jack is when he goes to that meal with the rich people. And then he says, like, yeah, last night I slept underneath a bridge and now I'm on this boat with you guys. And if he was, like, even a little less hot, that would be a horrifying thing to come out at a table. Yeah. Like, because he's clean and very sexy and very charming, everyone's like, oh, he slept under a bridge yesterday. But if he was just, like, a regular person, that would give me a lot of pause.
Sure.
anyways, he really gets away with social murder there.
Yeah. A lot.
Yeah,
it helps whenever.
He probably smelled bad.
I'd imagine so.
Yeah, we saw his lodgings.
But I think everyone smelled bad in that era.
That's
like, I don't
true.
Think people were bathing every single day. Even the, maybe even not the rich people.
Well, I feel like the rich people wore a lot of, like, scents.
Yeah,
and stuff.
They were covering it up
with like
musks.
Thick colognes. Gross.
Right.
Gross.
But yeah, everyone probably smelled.
Especially, would there have even been running water on the Titanic in 1912?
I think that there was.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure there was. It was an amazing ship. Thing.
The ship of dreams.
The ship of dreams. And it was. It really was.
A few other moments happened that I'm like, yeah, go Rose. The ship is like mid-sink. Cal is like, what, you're going to go off to him and be his whore?
A whore to a gutter rat? Yeah.
And she's like, I'd rather be his whore than your wife.
Oh, right.
And then she spits in his face. I love it.
That was great.
That was good.
And also Billy Zane's mug when he gets hit in the face with spit. Great job by Billy Zane.
Wonderful acting.
Yeah. I would describe it as like a, what the heck? Why'd she do that? And that's all he had to do. That was the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another part where Rose is trying to rescue Jack from being handcuffed to like a pipe in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And she realizes no one's going to be able to help her. So she's like, fine, I'll take matters into my own hands. And she just gets that axe and goes and does it. And I'm just like, oh, girl power.
But before, is it before? I think it's before, right before she gets the axe, she punches that guy in the face.
Oh, yeah, that too.
And then gives him a nosebleed.
He's trying to, like, get her up to safety. And she's like, no, I'm trying to save a life here.
No one is in the wrong, per se.
Right.
No.
It's just a high-pressure sitch.
Very.
Right. I think in retrospect, he would forgive her. Also, he probably died.
There's another scene where she's, like, running to the elevator. And she's like, take me down. He's like, no. And she's like, I'm through being polite. Take me down, god damn it.
Oh, yeah. And then he does it.
Yeah.
He does it.
Don't fuck with Rose. She'll yell at you. This collection of all these little moments that I didn't, like, necessarily pay that much attention to before. But, like, on this rewatch, I was like, oh.
She Rose does a
is
lot.
A,
yeah.
A badass.
She somehow manages the axe. Thing.
Mm-hmm.
That she probably shouldn't have worked out.
No, she definitely would have chopped his hands off or like very severely injured him.
At least hurt him.
Yeah.
Either way, like it's, you know, she's doing stuff.
Yeah, she is doing stuff.
Yeah. Go Rose.
Go Rose.
That's what I
Rose. Think. Rose. Jack.
Rose.
Jack.
Rose. Rose. Jack. The last 45 minutes of the movie.
Oh my gosh.
Rose. Jack. Rose. Jack.
Yep.
Like old, poor family about to die.
I know.
And then cut back to them. Oh God, it's so sad. All those.
It is so sad.
Oh, like the old people spooning.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about how potentially Jack and Rose were the reason that the, at least in this depiction of the story, they were the reason the ship hit the iceberg? Because the watch out guys were distracted by them making out on the deck.
There probably wouldn't have been enough time anyway.
Probably not.
It takes
but
a long time.
I like to think
it was
that they
fault.
Like sealed their own fate.
It's true.
By,
yeah,
and
maybe if she had just gone off and done what she was told,
they
all those people would have
Yeah,
left.
She was responsible for 1,200 people dying or something, 1,500. The moral of the story here is don't love anybody and don't get in a relationship or kiss them because you'll just cause a lot of mass destruction.
Oh, Caitlin.
Yeah.
This is really a dystopian view of a beautiful love story. They only knew each other for two days. What's
you
the harm?
You haven't even heard my theories on Jack being a child pornographer because
what?
One of the pictures that he shows Rose.
Please don't do this.
Is a pair of adult hands, probably what? Man hands, on a naked child's body. His thumbs are like covering the little girl's nipples, and it's like this weird child porn thing.
He can't draw his own hands, Caitlin.
It's not his hands, but he's creating an image that is child pornography because it's like adult hands on a little girl. Look it up. It happens.
I don't want to look it up.
And then...
I don't want to look it up.
Could it be a father and...
Yeah, but why is the girl naked? She's, like, very clearly naked in the picture.
But is she really little?
She's, yeah, like, if she's, 5.
Well, if she's really little, then maybe she's getting a bad... Yeah. If she's, like,
no,
13, look at, then that's weird.
Yeah. It's, like, weirdly sexual.
I don't want to...
All right, I don't necessarily withdraw my suggestion that Jack is a child pornographer, but...
Mm-hmm.
I want other
clickbait
people.
Clickbait theory, Caitlin.
I want other people
it.
To tweet at us.
What a bombshell to drop at
I
the
know,
end.
I know. I'm not sorry though. These are dark times, okay? Trump.
So let's assume
president.
The worst in everybody.
Yes,
everyone's a child molester. No way, man. Jack was probably a stinky hobo, but. It was nice.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, Jack is a pretty good character. He spends most of the time just, like, bending over backwards for Rose and just, like, loving her for everything that she is and empowering her.
And... Praising all of her great qualities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does. Yeah. So, good on Jack.
He's an ally.
He is. He's such a feminist.
He's
an
ally. R.I.P. Fabrizio. Always want to give a shout-out to Fabrizio.
Oh, yeah.
He was a good guy. He seemed, I don't know, he mostly just said Italian words.
Yeah.
And then was crushed by, like, a steam thing. But good guy.
Good guy.
We think.
We were pretty sure.
Maybe he was a child pornographer and we just didn't know.
True. Anyone could be.
This is the Durante test.
tune in next week to the Durante cast. Mm-hmm. Is your favorite male character in a movie a secret child pornographer?
I love it. It's like my theory that the baldest woman in the movie is in charge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These tests are going to be famous someday. Do you have a test?
No. Now I feel like I need one.
Yeah. You can think about it. Just tweet at us.
Keep calm and take a selfie. It'll be fine.
It's true.
It'll be fine.
And does anyone have any other thoughts about... the movie and or its portrayal of ladies?
It does a better job than I remembered. I wouldn't have thought that it did so well just thinking about
same
because it's like a love story and usually love stories don't do that well, but it does really well.
Yeah, I agree. All those moments I was like, yeah, it does give Rose a lot of
because a lot of romance stories it's usually like a rom-com where, like, they start out hating each other, and then they have to be like, oh, well, this guy's a dick, but, he's cute, so and he's near where I am, so we're gonna fall in love.
Yeah.
But, like, this one,
he likes that she's tough.
Yeah, they like each other from the start, and, like, she's the one who, like, keeps trying to pull away, but she's like, you know what, no, I'm gonna get, like, my dick's hard a little bit for him, so I'm gonna...
Whoa.
I'm going to see where this goes. I know. Sorry to use such a male normative term for that. But there's no...
I am triggered.
There's no... is there a female equivalent? I guess, like, she's wet for him.
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a common equivalent.
Also, it ties into the theme of water and sinking ships. Sorry, I tried to force it. It wasn't very good.
It's okay.
Thank you.
I was like, am I going to throw a tantrum? You know what? I've done enough.
But in this movie, the romance is sort of like the vehicle that gets her to like I said before, it's sort of the catalyst for her character arc.
They seem to bring out the best in each other for the time that they're together. So that's nice.
Aparna, do you have any thoughts about the movie you want to share that you haven't already?
Man. Trying to think what we haven't covered. I feel like we did a pretty thorough job.
Oh, yeah. That's the Bechdelcast, baby.
Yeah.
It's thorough.
You guys were really thorough.
This
the
movie
Celine Dion song.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we did.
Celine Dion, now she's an ally.
Yeah.
She's with us.
She is.
I mean, I feel like she was kind of firmly associated with that movie for a while because of the song.
So it does pass the Bechdel test.
It does. That's exciting.
Really soon. Yeah. And it's kind of nice that it passes so soon. And it passes more than once.
Yeah.
Because there's so many movies that we do where it's
I know one that's bad that it scene. Only has to be one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we did Groundhog Day. Mm-hmm. And that just gets by on like an exchange Annie McDowell has with a waitress. And
oh, right.
It.
About sticky buns. Yeah.
About sticky buns. So even that's a stretch. And but this one passes over and over and over. Like pretty much any time there's a scene with two women in it, it's generally not about a man or there's other topics discussed.
Right. Yeah, right. It might either start with a conversation about a man or end it. But like throughout the conversation, they talk about something other than a man.
Right.
Usually. Like I said before, I do wish that Rose and Molly had more scenes together and that they I feel like they should have palled up and like.
Let's do some fan fiction.
Yeah.
Just them hanging out. And then are you ready to rate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so, you guys rate it?
Oh, yeah. We rate it on a scale of 0 to 5 nipples.
Hmm.
Specifically about how it treats the female characters.
So I think I would give this 4.
Yeah, I think it deserves a pretty high rating.
4 nipples. And I would give it, the nipples I would give it would be, oh, we didn't talk about him, the officer who commits suicide because he feels bad. So 2 are his. And then 2 are Molly Brown's.
Sure.
Those are the nipples I give it.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. I would also give it 4. I think one of the reasons, just subconsciously, that I saw this movie, you know, 20 years ago for the first time and have kept watching it over and over and over is that I was like, yeah, it has really this pretty strong female character.
Which is like usually when you're revisiting a movie, you realize how fucking bad it is to women.
So this was like,
right?
Oh.
Nice surprise.
Yeah. So I'd give it 4. I would, because the movie is just as much about Rose's like growth as a woman as it is about a ship sinking and the romance. So I give it a 4. Two of the nipples belong to Jack when he's trembling and very sweaty during their sex scene. And the other two...
He's got to be hairless, right?
Yeah, he was very hairless.
Very smooth. Okay.
Smooth Jack. Mm.
Freaks me out.
And I say the other two are the nipples that we see on Rose, but not in real life, the drawing that he does of her like, illustrated
Ooh,
nipples.
The sketch nips.
Yeah.
Mm.
Cool. Would you like to rate the movie?
I don't understand how the nipples work.
We just, we assign a number.
Yeah.
And then we just describe who they might belong to. That's, you don't have to do that part. We do it for fun because, you know.
I don't remember the officer who committed suicide. Who was that?
Oh, there's a part. So when the rescue boats are starting to get full.
Yeah.
And they're crowding. And then one of the officers, I think it's First Officer Murdoch, takes out a gun and, like, shoots at the crowd and kills
like
Irish Tommy and someone else.
Yeah.
And then I think he realizes that...
Oh.
He's in over his head.
Whoa, another...
And then he kills himself.
Whoa, what great puns we're coming up with.
And it's very sad. And also, I would argue, in retrospect, very unprofessional.
Yeah.
They really could have used him.
He really left time. Those people in
Yeah,
a lurch.
He goofed.
Yeah.
But they could have used him for another hour or so.
Uh-huh.
And that did really happen. That's like a real thing that happened.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Whoa.
That makes sense why they put it in the movie then.
Real. Yeah, that would be like a mean thing to do to someone who actually existed if he hadn't actually done that.
Yeah. Well, that's our...
Oh, wait, did you want to give it a number of nipples?
Oh yeah. I'll also give it 4.
Cool.
And who will I give 2 to Fabrizio.
Mm. Oh, R.I.P.
I bet his are pretty hairy. Being
2 hairy ones.
Don't put them in a box.
Yeah.
And I'll give 2 to Molly Brown.
Very nice.
Awesome.
Thanks so much for being here. Where can people find you, like, on Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
Stuff?
My Twitter is just aparnapkin, and my website is just aparnacomedy.com.
Wonderful.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yay.
Thanks, lady.
Of course.
Thanks
and
for being here.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Be careful. Your one true love might be a child pornographer.
Yeah.
That's true.
Think about that.
Per Caitlin.
Mm-hmm. Okay, bye.
I could fix Cal.
Oh, we forgot to do the check-in for the middle part of the movie. Hey, guys.
Hey.
It's, we're checking in.
We're checking in. We stopped where the first VHS would have stopped.
I'm a little wine drunk. How are you?
I'm a little wine drunk, but mostly I'm just like... We identified several points in the movie where it's like, oh, this is where you really start feeling it. Yeah, I'm a little fragile at this point.
I, again, am a bit of a robot, so I'm not quite there yet.
I've already cried twice. I cried when they kissed because that's so beautiful.
It is.
And then I cried when I thought about Mr. Andrews because he has such integrity.
He does. He really does.
And so does EJ. Oh, can I pitch my buddy cop idea really quick?
Sure.
Okay, this will cheer us all up. So, because it was Captain E.J. Smith's last voyage ever, and he was going to retire the second he got to New York, I want to make a buddy cop movie of, like, it was his last week on the force, but this captain is going to get a little surprise. And then the Titanic sinks. Oh, I'm still in a bad mood.
I think if you remember the scene where, like, he's in, like, the room with the steering wheel or whatever it's called.
And then
the windows break in and all the water comes, like, rushing in. I feel like if you just, like, lay slapstick comedy music over that, it could just be, like, a really
it's
funny...
It's a very, like, Buster Keaton yeah. kind of thing.
Well, okay, so Jamie is an emotional wreck. I am doing... Okay, the thing about this movie is that I'm, like... A little ambivalent toward the first half. Like, I like it. I enjoy it. I'll
You're
sit through it
progressively.
To get to the second half because the second half of this movie is just like a terrific action movie with like such good practical effects.
I love it. First half though is my emotional core because it's all over the place. There's a toxic relationship. It moves too fast. There are nudes. There are promises broken.
Yeah.
There's a mean brunette who's all about what he wants.
You mean...
The first half is dope.
Billy Zane?
Billy Zane. I'm talking about Billy Zane. I feel like he started
I like that you identified a man character as his hair color, the way that, like, a lot of people will
Very
be like,
sensitive.
Oh, you know, that blonde, and it's almost always referring to a woman. Yeah, let's start doing that. Let's start reducing men to their hair color.
I'm very sensitive to male hair color.
Yeah.
So... Maybe I'm more wondering.
I know how you feel about blonde adults, so...
Yeah, but I would say Leo is sandy enough that
yeah.
I still get very wet for him.
Yeah.
So, there you have it.
See you soon!
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.